The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And for the past year or year and a half, we've tried to do that here in this congregation. There's a group of young men that I get together with just sort of quietly on a monthly basis on a Sunday night to work with them and to build them up. And to this word here, entrust, means to set food before, like to feed someone. Entrust the things that you've received to others who will be able to teach others also. That word teach means to make a deposit into someone else's lives. And so the call as believers and as ministers in particular is to see other ministers raised up and to make a deposit in their lives. Now, not everyone's going to come up here and preach a sermon, but everyone is called by God, as we've received from him, to give and to put some food in front of someone else, as we've received to freely give. And so over the course of this summer, once this month and in July and in August, I'm going to have some of those young men who we've been feeding quietly in the background for the past year or year and a half come up here and feed others also and make a deposit into your lives. And it's fitting, and I'm very thankful today that my son Michael is going to be among the first to do that, to share the word with you this morning. So why don't we pray for Michael as he comes to share. Come on up here, Michael. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your plan, for your purpose, for your design. Thank you, Lord, for this day. It's your day. This is your church. We are your people. This is your word that we're about to look at, Lord. It's not the words of men. It's not cunningly devised fables, as one of the scriptures says. It is, in fact, the truth and the word of God to man. And we thank you that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you make your word to come alive in us. And so on this Father's Day, we look to you, Heavenly Father, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that you would just fill Michael with your Holy Spirit, your grace. And I pray, Father, that the words that he shares would be the heart of heaven this morning, and that we as your people would feast on it, and that you'd be glorified, and that we would be edified. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Amen.
Hello. Good morning. Don't go too far. You're going to be reading, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
First of all, Fred, thank you. That was beautiful. And I want to read a scripture that is very special to me. I think it's special to all of us. It comes out of Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God, forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. He actually cares about the little sparrow. And that's the profound piece. He actually cares about that, and he cares about you so much more deeply. And that's part of what we're going to be talking about today, is how he pursues us. So last week, we saw about, in Luke chapter 14, how Jesus said, when you give a luncheon, don't invite your friends or rich neighbors, but invite the poor, the crippled, the lame. He turns the world upside down. And I think our natural inclination, our tendency is to get around the people that make us feel good, make us feel like we're something special. We're in those circles, we're running around with the right people. And Jesus says, invite the people who can't pay you back. And then we heard the parable of the dinner feast and how the kingdom of God is filled with a ragtag group of misfits like me and like you. And those are the ones that he says, compel them to come in. Call them in. And we are those people? So last week, Jesus says, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, compel them to come in. And this week, we're going to gaze into the heart of our perfect Heavenly Father. And specifically, we're going to focus on this simple yet profound truth. It's that He longs for you. He longs for you. And we arrive at this truth by the way of Luke chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles or cell phone, or I didn't have time to make slides, I would have done the Joel Beasley thing, I would have done that. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And I'm glad you didn't go too far, Pastor. I'm going to have you read Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Your Father longs for you. So in this passage, it starts out with two distinct groups, those who are listening and those who are grumbling. And what's the key characteristic between the children of God and those outside the kingdom? They're listening. And in the verse before that, if you go to chapter 14, Jesus actually says here, He gives a parable about salt and how if it's lost its season, it's not good for anything. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then right after that, verse 1 of chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. We're all listening to something. It's the voice of God or it's the voice of something else. And when I was reading this, I was reflecting, what am I listening to? What are you listening to? You're listening to the voice of fear? Are you listening to the voice of self, the voice of selfishness, materialism? You flip on the news, it's grumbling, I promise you. For 5 minutes, turn on the news, it's a lot of grumbling. But active listening is something that we see here that the tax collectors and sinners are doing, and it's reversed again. The tax collectors and sinners were the people you wouldn't expect to be the people of God. The Pharisees, the people who were spiritual, religious people, they were the ones that Jesus rebukes here. And this group of people are saying, they're grumbling, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus doubles down on their own statement. Jesus does receive sinners. He does eat with them. And he's invited us in, and he's compelled us in to be part of his family. So who are you listening to? Are you listening to the grumblers, or are you listening to Jesus? And we're going to listen to these first couple of verses, verses 3 through 7. And there are a couple of things I want to pick out here that really just stood out to me. Verse 3 through 7. And he told them this parable saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Now I want to pause right there, that statement. Until he finds it, persistently searching, longing to find it. Parents, fathers, If you have a son or a daughter that's lost, would you ever stop searching for your son or daughter? No, never. And your Father in heaven will continue his search for you until he finds you. Let's go back to listening. He's calling each of us right now. We're all listening to something. We're all listening to someone. He's calling each of you right now. Right now. Today's the day of salvation. Are we listening? The beautiful thing is, what does he do when he finds the sheep? He invites the friends and the neighbors. He invites everyone to participate in that. He calls together everyone and says, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost." I want to tell you a story from my own life. Once upon a time, maybe 4 years ago, James, our then 3-year-old son, went missing from our home. He's 3, 4. How old is he? 3. Tara says 3. She remembers the details. I forget all this stuff. He was 3. And he's just gone like that. We're hanging out. Where's James? Where is he? So we're looking for him. Where's James? We're checking all the doors, all the closets. No, he's not there. He's not in the playroom. He's not in his, not in the bathrooms. All right, check behind the curtains. And he's nowhere. Okay, he's not inside. Now, if you know me, you know my wife, you know which of us is trying to kind of keep it cool and which one of us went into frantic panic mode from the get-go. Where's James? Where's James? Where is he? Where's he? And so we look outside, and this is a 3-year-old kid. He's gone. We can't find him anywhere. So then we're going downstairs, our neighbors. Where is James? Have you seen him? Is he in your house? Is he playing with your kids? No, no, no. And now we're getting to the point, she's the frantic one. I'm pretty like laid back. By this time, I'm ready to call the police. I'm like, my son is missing. Where's my son? And I couldn't tell you if it was me or if it was his mother who found him in the middle of summer, closed up in our warm, hot van, sweating. It wasn't that long. It wasn't like we're not neglectful parents. But it was long enough to get us to the point where we rejoiced when we found our son. Your Father longs for you. You know, I was telling Pastor before this, you know, and as I'm preparing for the sermon, you go through what you're writing out. You're like, do I really believe what I'm saying? And I can say I do. He longs for you. I'm talking to each one of you. More deeply than I longed for my son that day. His longing for you is so deep and so visceral, he put it all on the line. All of it. For you. He stepped off his throne. He took on flesh. Subjected himself to separation from his own Father. He walked away from that. Why? Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Now, what was the joy set before him? It's you. It's me, by his grace. Think on that for a minute. We think about so much stuff. I think about stress. I think about family. Think about that. Listen to that for just a minute of your life. Give that enough time to sink in. For the joy set before him, thought about Bonnie, thought about Jimmy, thought about Tina. For that joy, he endured the cross. He really longs for you. Like, he really pursues you. And he won't stop until he finds you. That moment or that season when you first recognized your need to repent, heaven went wild. The rejoicing that I had for and Tara had when we found James, that was short-lived. This is everlasting, eternal pleasure and joy over one sinner who repents. Now, as I was thinking about this, I told you I was moved by it. Wow. for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Well, why? Like, me? Like, us, we have nothing to offer him. We have nothing. Why? It's a bad business deal. He's doing all these, leaving all this for this. Like, this, so it can't end there. It's not just us. Why could he possibly see me and you as worthy of pursuing? Why did he do it? And I think it's profoundly simple and eternally deep. And the answer is this: because he's good. He's just that good. He is the good father. He's the ultimate good father. He's just that good. He is beauty for ashes. He can take what's sown in dishonor and raise it in glory. He can restore what the locusts have eaten. Do you believe this? Are you listening? He's calling you. This is him. This is the Father that you have. And lest we forget and become puffed up and think that we're something we're not, we were the crippled. We were the blind. We were the poor. We were the ones on the outside, yet we're valuable to him. Look at, starting in verse 8. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep it, and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? There again, we see until she finds it. But I love this part right here. Light a lamp. If we're looking at this as a picture of us and God, when we're in the darkness, he lights a lamp. And he'll keep that light on until he finds what he's looking for. And that's what makes us valuable. The coin isn't valuable in and of itself. The sheep isn't valuable in and of itself. What makes it valuable? I found my sheep, which was lost. I found the coin, which I lost. The value isn't the thing. The value is the fact that it belongs to the owner. We belong to him, and therefore we are valuable. So let's recap. In closing, Elise, if you could come up. So you have a good father. We've established that. He won't stop at anything until he finds you. I wish Ralph were here. He always talks about these critical questions. I'm like, Ralph, I got a critical question for you here. I called it a deep question. Good father, longs for you, won't stop at anything. Therefore, how does that shape your identity? Tara and I like going to visit different castles and different things, and we just think it's so cool. On the North Shore, you have these people, this gilded age, and it's this amazing thing. Can I tell you? The treasure that you have in you, if you walk with the Lord, the treasure you have in you and the treasure that's waiting for you is so much greater than anything this world could ever offer you. The most affluent person on earth, fill in the blank, whoever it is, has mere table scraps compared to what we have. Do we really believe this stuff? I can tell you that I believe it with all my heart. If you think I'm a crazy person, that's okay. My father's God. And you can be part of this. I want this for you, for each and every one of you. He wants this for you, each and every one of you. He wants beauty for ashes. We were on the outside, now we're brought in. Jesus says in Luke 12, Verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. He doesn't keep it for himself. Now that's a good father. Father who leaves inheritance for his children. And not an earthly kingdom. He's chosen gladly to give us his kingdom. He's a good father. He's searching for you. And he won't stop until he finds you. Are we listening? Because he's calling you. From wherever you are, he's calling you. Elise is going to lead us in a song. And let's worship our good Father. You can stand.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, all you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, it's your love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.